When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. So yesterday, I believe it was actually basically 24 hours ago, during this very segment, we got a call from our guy Saeed, who was like, hey, by the way, this Falcons game that just got flexed into prime time, that could be Michael Penix's first start. And I was like, there is no way that is Michael Penix's first start, because there's no way the Falcons, unless the Falcons get eliminated this weekend, in which case maybe it'll be Michael Penix's first start, because there's just no way that, considering Raheem Morris made some comments that basically suggested that Michael Penix wasn't ready last week, and the Falcons are in the middle of a playoff race, that they're going to put a rookie quarterback in when they are on this tight of a tightrope over this high of a high wire. Hey, kid, we have no room for error in terms of the playoffs. No wiggle room, no margin. Need you to win. Must win game. Sunday night football. Go get them. That's organizational malpractice to put a kid in that situation. And sure enough, I was right. Sure enough, I was right. That will not be Michael Penix's first start against Washington, because they are giving him his first start in the same exact situation this weekend against the Giants. The Atlanta Falcons landing on Michael Penix in this way is just impossibly perfect. The Falcons have been an organization for a long time that is good but not great and can't get out of their own way. Always seems like they should just be a little bit better, but there's just something off that's not working. And this is how you get stuck in mediocrity. You make half-baked decisions. You don't go all in. You're hedging your bets at all times. And it doesn't allow you to pursue a strategy that allows you to maximize anything that you're doing. And if you want to make the argument, before I get too deep into this, if you want to make the argument that the Falcons season is at 7-7, basically over, that Tampa's playing well, they're not going to catch the Bucs for the AFC South, and they're too far behind Washington for the 7 seed, and so that their season is over, that I will give you. If you want to make that argument as a fan of the Falcons or of the NFL or just an observer, whatever, okay, fine. Hey, season's over. Penix is the future. He's ready enough. Who cares? Let's go. Fine. Problem is, that's not really their situation. Like, they're not out of this in terms of the playoffs. And especially considering this weekend, they have the New York Giants. If you're trying to just get Kirk back on track, and he has had some games this year that are good, then that this would certainly be a weekend where you could try that. You don't have to do a whole lot on offense to beat the Giants. The Giants' defense is not really a pushover. But offensively, if you can score 14 points, you're probably going to win the game because the Giants' offense is fully inept. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers, down the stretch, they've got the Cowboys, the Panthers, and the Saints. They certainly could go 3-0, but the chances that they go 3-0 seem pretty slim because they've already won four straight. Are the Bucs really going to win seven in a row down the stretch? I mean, I know that Mike Evans is back and they're rolling, but that feels a little tough. And if you look at the standings, to not, again, win their division and host a playoff game, the Bucs are only one game up on the Falcons. I'm not telling you they're as good. Tampa's a plus 77 point differential on the year. The Falcons are minus 49. And if they're really this committed to the process and they're just being real with themselves saying we're not that good, okay, they're probably never going to say that out loud. They probably should leak it to the press and be like, hey guys, just so you guys will stop beating up on us, we know that we're not going anywhere and that it's not worth the Cousins thing. And so we're just going to see what Penix has for the rest of the season because we'd rather him get a little bit of experience to take into the offseason versus just starting afresh next year without having ever played an NFL snap. You want to do that? Fine. You want to try to do that quietly so you don't sell to your locker room that you're giving up on the season even though you're one game back with three to go? I guess. But that's not really how the NFL works. Like, you fight till the bitter end. You got to motivate these guys every single week to get up and go. And if you honestly think Michael Penix is the better option at this point, well, isn't that the answer, Craig? Isn't that the thing? Just play the better guy. Isn't it clear after Cousins struggled again on Monday night that Penix is better? Here's the problem with that. There is just no way you can convince me that he's all of a sudden better now when he wasn't last week. Now, if you want to go back before that, I will give the Falcons a little bit of a break. They had two really tough defenses, the Chargers, who, until the Bucs demolished them, were the best scoring defense in the league, and the Broncos, who might actually be the best defense in the league, were their two previous opponents. But why not start him last week against the Raiders? You had a long week going into Monday Night Football. The Raiders are terrible. Max Crosby's having surgery, so he's not even playing. Just play him then. And then you've got four games down the stretch where you just say, hey, Michael's grown enough that he's passed Kirk on the depth chart. Now, even though it's the Giants, it's a short week. You have three games for your playoff life. And by the way, if you were to lose this weekend, you're probably eliminated. So just do it next week. Two games versus three games, is it that much of a difference for the long term of Michael Penix? And this kind of goes back to the original sin of both signing Cousins and drafting Penix. The whole upside of Michael Penix is that he's already 24, 25 years old. You didn't have to wait an entire season like you might have, say, Drake May waited, you know, six, seven games. And then it was like, okay, he's seen enough NFL football in the meeting rooms. It's time to get him on the field. Jacoby Brissett's not exactly killing it. Let's go. Perhaps in hindsight, the Bears might have wished they did that with Caleb Williams. Whether it was bringing in a different veteran or just letting Tyson Bagent play, could the Bears have been better off letting a young Caleb Williams get more experience in the meeting room, in the classroom, and standing on the sideline and going like, okay, I see how this is done. Yeah, they thought they were good enough to go to the playoffs, and they thought Williams was ready. And you know, I don't disagree with that at the beginning of the year. Their offensive coordinator decision certainly left quite a bit to be desired. And how they ran that offense, but this isn't a Bears segment. This is a Falcons segment. The Falcons, they drafted a guy in the top 10 who I don't know that anyone else in the entire league had a top 10 grade on after spending $100 million on Kirk Cousins. And they did it for a guy who should have been ready immediately because he's much, much older than your average rookie. And so the problem here is that they drafted a guy to say, hey, he's ready to play. We're going to maximize his rookie contract while also spending the kind of money on a veteran quarterback that doesn't allow you to spend money in other places. The whole benefit of having a rookie, which thank God the Commanders are about to experience for the next 4 years, is that he costs such a small percentage of what a quarterback is supposed to cost that it might as well be cheating. If quarterbacks now are $50, $60 million a year, Jaden's going to make like five for most of the next couple years. Let me actually look up the exact number. Because Cousins is going to make 27 next year. Actually, sorry. That's just his base. Oh my God. He's going to make like 39. They're going to have at least $35 million in dead cap next year if they want to move on from him. And that could be split in multiple years in terms of a June 1st cut. It'll be $65 million, $35 if they do it next year. And then prorate it so they can do like 30 and 30 over the next couple of years. Or just they could take a Russell Wilson type hit like Denver did and just do it all next season. And maybe because Penix is on that rookie deal, you can get away with that and then in a couple of years. But then you're having to pay Bijan Robinson. Then you're having to pay Drake London. Like all of a sudden your cap goes nowhere. Meanwhile, Washington, should they really pay Terry McLaurin and T. Higgins, let's say? Probably not. That's probably not the wisest way to split your cap. That's the whole reason the Bengals are getting rid of T. Higgins in the first place. Well, except for the fact that you're not paying a quarterback. Because Jaden Daniels next year is going to make or count $8 million against the cap. $10 million in 2026. $12 million in 2027. We're talking about one-tenth of the premier guys at that position. At that $6, $7 million number. Next year, eight, so about 12% of a usual quarterback contract. That is enormous. And this is the problem with how Atlanta's handled Penix the entire time. Are you in or are you out? And they've once again, just like they did when they drafted him, gone with the split the baby strategy. And they've put him in the worst possible situation. Whatever happens to Kirk happens to Kirk. At least he's getting paid. But if you want to help Penix succeed, you have failed him in every way imaginable from a roster construction, expectations management, all that standpoint. Even the fact that they're doing this on a short week. He's got 6 days. And then the biggest game of your season on Sunday Night Football next week against Washington. It's just sad. But it's also perfectly how the Falcons have handled a million different things over the years, which is why they're constantly in the middle, constantly a team that you think should be better, and despite the fact that they've accumulated a lot of talent, seems to not be going anywhere. And it may work, but it's not going to work as good as it could if they had just done the process right in the first place. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we are talking about a big breakthrough, years in the making. Washington, D.C. finally has control of the RFK site. We're talking about it with an expert next.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.